Hello, and this is the Watson Weekend. I'm Rick Watson.
I'm Jessica Laseski. I am already stress wrapping Q4 predictions with shaky optimism and a broken tape dispenser. How about you, Rick?
I'm wondering who this guy is next to me.
I know, it's like, I can't believe I keep getting invited back. I'm Nick Kaplan, who's excited to be here today.
This season, we are diving headfirst into peak from Black Friday Circus to January's Hangover.
That's right. And
it's
with
coming.
Nick here, it always does, guys. I can't believe we're here. And with Nick here, he's going to make sure we've got the retail therapy. You know, it's for all of us that sometimes are too jaded to call it a holiday miracle.
I love when I'm not the one that's jaded.
I know. I'll be black today. So, right. Well, we've got a really exciting show. We're going to mix it up today and really kind of do a 2025 rewind in Watson Weekend fashion. And I don't want to spoil it for you. Before we get into that, we're going to do our headline hangover. And Rick is going to talk us through who brings this fine program to the world today.
Yes, we are so thankful for our longtime sponsors, Rhythm. In commerce, every second counts, especially for your website and all your performance. Rhythm connects every channel with AI automation and insights so brands can grow profitably. Learn more at rhythm.com. That's RITHUM.com. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we've got so much fun in store today. So let's first do the headline hangover and watch Rick lose yet again.
Ouch.
Have I lost yet? In an AI
world. Oh, Nick.
Conversation?
Not even what? Close.
What do you mean?
Not even close.
No. Human care.
Well, they are making a mistake. They need to be thinking about conversational commerce.
Well, you know, I did actually see that Nordstrom has a collaboration with my former alma mater, I guess you would call it, Shutterfly. So Santa's in the stores. There's going to be taking pictures, driving some football. That feels very human, but
yeah. Sounds like a miracle on 34th Street.
It sure does. Well, we got a lot to get to. So let's throw in the next headline here.
Blank is making a comeback and toy makers are rejoicing.
Toys R Us?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
We have a winner. Yay. All right, Jess.
What was the giraffe called? Jerry the giraffe? Was that it?
Jeffrey.
Jerry.
Yeah, it was Jerry in North Carolina.
It sure was.
Toys R Us has been making a comeback the last couple of years. They were brought out of bankruptcy. It's actually a number of companies that own it. WHP Global, I think, is one of the primary shareholders. Clearly at the licensing model, you know, it's operated in different countries. I think a lot of people don't know that Toys R Us in Canada, Toys R Us other places never stopped.
Right.
Why? Really sort of the mothership that stopped, which is a little bit crazy to think about. And so from that point of view, the collabs keep increasing the number of stores. So they have operators for the for an increased set of stores now. They have the American Dream Mall. Kim Kardashian visited that, I remember, last year when they opened it.
You know you've hit gold.
I don't want to stop us from getting number three, but I'll make one comment, which is, do you notice how this story always comes out around this time of year?
Because, Nick, we just have heart, and we have joy and love, and nothing says Christmas in the holidays like letting someone stroll the toy aisle and just pick things
the
PR machine of Toys R Us clearly owns a plant the story heading into the holidays. Thank you, NRF.
Do you see the store within a store future with Target and Toys R Us?
Target, it depends on who's CEO. The Target store within stores, Ulta did not love their collab with Target because they're exiting. And so I think Target needs to understand what it's there for. I think clearly they started with Macy's, and I think those collabs were pretty well represented and well merged. And now they're, you know, expanding to Target. I'm going to give it a C. Right now.
All right.
I'm with you. All right. You hit it.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on, we're going to round out with my story. Airbnb's testing a kitchen stocking service that lets guests place blank orders before their stay. Oh, she's gone. We have broken the buzzer, people.
I was in it first.
I think you won.
All right. One. All right. What you got?
I'm going to be specific. I'm going to say Uber Eats.
Instacart. Close, but no Instacart? Cigar.
I was grocery.
I don't even know if I would have gotten it. What, maybe halfsies, but not a full point on that. Come on. So yes, they are testing this kitchen stocking service with Instacart, meaning you can order groceries 3 weeks before your stay. Walk into an Airbnb and the fridge is already filled. It's like a little grocery fairy. It's all magically waiting there for you, like almost you brought your mom on vacation. Hosts get paid. It's like $25 per stocking, $100 bonus for complete order. It's actually interesting because there's already companies and businesses that do this. And so I'm kind of curious, like, why I didn't roll into the whole like services marketplace piece that Airbnb already has. You know, they really have been trying to transform into more of this services company as an add-on to the like stay. It's not just a place to sleep. And when you don't have hotels and room service, like, what's the next best thing? Stocking the groceries. So here we go, guys.
They're a hospitality company, Jess. And
we sure are.
Definitely they've leaned into experiences. And I think they're pretty successful. I mean, to be honest, if you're going to a new city and you're staying in an Airbnb, why not also use Airbnb to take a tour? It's hard to find reputable tour members. And I feel like TripAdvisor is just like so overdone. Like, no one understands how you can trust them anymore.
Yeah.
And so Airbnb could be a nice alternative to them.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a logical evolutionary step for them, right? What matters most is experience and trust. And as they build their brand and that credibility, and I think a lot of people turn to both on the supply side, which is like providing their homes and getting that additional income, and on the demand side, looking for alternatives to hotels, it makes total sense. And I think it's a home run.
Absolutely. And we really are living into being the hostess with the mostest.
Yeah.
That's where I leave you guys. All right. So 2025 retros are just so common this time of year. We love to look back, especially as the pundits that we are, and see kind of what were some of the things that we talked about this year? What were some of the exciting things that happened? And we had so many great guests on the show. So it wouldn't be a celebration and a retro without an homage to the guests that we have had. So this is not, it's Jeopardy. So
I'm
going to just flash the board because you guys haven't seen this and I feel like I need to give you a little of a tutorial. Way that it's going to work is we have these different categories: Riddle Me, RMN, Culture Club, AI Illuminati, Marketplace Mayhem, Flexport Says What, Things Rick Said That Shouldn't Be On Record. Ooh. And you get your dollars. And this is real money, guys. This is not fake money. So check is courtesy of the Watson Weekend. Rick, you'd be paying yourself. These are for real dollars, guys.
I'm scared.
And I can't win. So Mama's not getting new shoes for Christmas. I'm going to be the guided host and Rick and Nick are the glorious contestants. They have their trusty buzzer, if it's not broken from the last little faux pas there. And all right, so let's do our test. Let's go with Culture Club. I'll start small because you guys like to play big. 200, we'll save the big ones for you guys. All right, so Joe Baker declared there's no courage in what?
Wow, this is the easiest one.
I know, right?
No courage in commerce?
Consensus. Yes.
I was going to say, like, there's no courage in safety. Okay. But I figured it would be wrong. So.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, we are starting off real strong.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're
okay, guys.
Now.
Come on. Okay.
You feel warmed up?
We're getting serious now. I'm understanding.
Okay. All right. So I kind of need, I think you should like loosen your neck a little bit, get the shoulders rolling. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So since you both lost, I'm just flipping a coin. Nick, you go first.
Okay. Let's go. AI Illuminati for 200.
All right. Dilip Keshu believes AI won't replace humans. It will do what instead?
It will make them more efficient.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go to my counterparts here. Yes. Okay. Yes. We will take that as an answer. So the answer here is, reveal them. That is so true.
Yeah. Generous on the part of
Rick, do you recall this interview a little bit?
I do.
You know, some of the things that we learned that felt pretty profound, right?
Yeah. That was a great interview. I really enjoyed the time with Dilip. He's such a deep thinker. And, you know, we definitely need to show him the show. And now he'll realize his name is in lights.
He's immortal.
That's right.
That was a really great interview. So he deserved it.
Yeah.
Illuminati. Yeah. Not just lights, like profoundly.
Well, Jess, I'm going to stay with that topic and now go to AI Illuminati for 400, please.
Okay. All right. We're just going to run down. Shopify's summer 2024 edition was described as what?
Is this Horizons?
Oh, it was more Shakespearean than that, Rick. And again, remember, this is AI. So it's like AI for AI, about AI. This was the AI hype machine, remember? Mm, and I can't believe this hasn't been burned in your brain as much as you, blog about this, talk about this. Okay.
I'm going to try for agentic.
No, it was what I just said, the AI for AI.
Oh, you said it. Oh, I thought it was like a word.
You got it. No. We'll just let you.
That was like.
Yep. Well, you know what, Nick? I'm going to let you have that one. So, okay. Just in the agentic spirit.
I got the track.
Yeah.
Right, let's keep going on AI Illuminati for 600.
Okay. We're just going to burn up this board. Yeah. Let's do it. Kristen Wiley joked that half of AI tools were built to write these.
Product descriptions.
Oh, close. But you weren't thinking sarcastically enough. LinkedIn, guys. LinkedIn. That's like the jam.
Yeah. I mean, right? I think that she has such an amazing story, having been an influencer. It's like come up with this incredible product that builds community. But I think that she understands the whole notion of building brand and is helping people build brand. So it is true. I mean, I've spoken as of late, I've been to a few events the last couple nights and talking a lot about AI, and everyone talks about AI in writing. Mm-hmm. So it is it is so true.
Yeah.
So you got to do more.
Well, you do. And you know what, talking about Kristen, just to park on this this is Statusphere. This was the company, just to remind our viewers, that she has created that. It really is this speed to market of acceleration, harnessing the power of influencers, where she's been utilizing this technology to spin up like 1,000 influencers that can talk about you in an hour. And it really is this amazing service to brands. We talked about how important branding is, and it can't just be from the top down, like in your voice. The more people talking about you, the more relevant you are, and it feels authentic. And I agree with you, Nick. I think just what she's built is super impressive. I loved this interview personally. It was so fun to talk to her. All right. So let's go hit the board again. I'd like to skip around, guys. Okay. I'm gonna take us off this one, and I'm going to force you into something else. Where else do you want to go?
Well, I think I still have control. So let's
go. You still have control of the board.
I know that this is a favorite topic.
Begrudgingly.
This is a favorite topic of Mr. Watson. Let's go to Flexport says what?
Okay. For which one?
Oh, 200.
200.
Okay.
You like to start. All right. Yeah. John Shea said delivery is the last what with a customer.
Touch point.
Yes. 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 We're going We're going to give you guys that.
All right. Let's keep it going.
Okay. Let's keep it going.
Sport says what for 400, Alex?
Okay. Nate Skiver's golden rule, over communicate and never what?
Over communicate and never what? Miss a promise date?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, yes. Wow. So let's talk about that. Like, you know, when you say the flex port says what? We're talking about shipping, logistics. Again, we've talked many times. When you have talked about this as your love language, that was like, you also had the hot wings, chicken wing challenge.
Correct.
What level of spice were you on? Do you remember? Or is your brain all mushy?
Right. Yeah, I don't remember. This was a great interview. Thanks to the folks at Octane that flew us out to Austin. And we had an interview there. And so this is why it's sort of seared it in my brain. Mm-hmm. They say if you have an emotional experience, I don't know if you're like this describes you guys. If you have an emotional experience, your memory
right.
really locks in. You never forget those things. And I think when I got to the F you up level of spice, that's really what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So Nate mm-hmm. is one of the shipping experts I follow in the world and love some of the insights that we dropped on that podcast. So I appreciate that is here.
Yes. And I also heard something else today that or this week, that spicy food almost has this euphoric thing that it can actually make you happy and change your mood. And so, you know, Rick, of course, it's burned in your brain because you not only had your logistics love language situation, but then you had the extra spice to go with it. So,
right.
All right. That was super fun. And you get control of the board now.
Rick. All right. Flexboard says what for 600, Jess?
Okay. Joe Baker predicted CMOs will soon be part marketer, part what? Woo-hoo-hoo, Nick.
Digital.
Back to our...
we're part marketer, part...
One answer, folks.
Rick, would you like to pick this one up?
Part merchandiser.
No, you're also in the same vein. We're in Flexport says what?
Oh, right.
We both got a... We both missed.
Bring
us home.
Therapist.
Yeah. Joe Baker was one of our most popular interviews. She's always spicy with her opinions.
Mm-hmm,
And we really appreciate, it was a super wide ranging interview. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, go back and search for Watson Weekend, Joe Baker. It was super popular. Gave a lot of spicy opinions on Shopify. Now BigCommerce. It wasn't commerce then.
Yeah.
They dropped the big, like dropping the in Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think kind of the theme there was marketers doing couples counseling between CRM and PPC. So,
yeah,
So let's go to the next topic here.
Okay.
Where are we at, guys?
I think am I still controlling? Let's go to things Rick said. I'm going to go for the layups. Things Rick said that shouldn't be on record for 200.
Okay. Rick called this forecasting technique vibe-based.
I mean, is this...
This is your countdown music, guys. You got 5, 4, 3, 2, yes.
I mean, I would say, because it's from the Kaplan book, is it the customer-based valuation for forecasting? Is it customer-focused forecasting?
Oh, Nick, it is. So retail forecasting, customer forecasting. We'll give you some credit there. This, again, I feel like is your love language. Forecasting, all the things. Yes. So it becomes almost spiritual for you.
It does. I think, people ask me what I do and I sort of say, whether it's me or us, it's all driven through this sort of thesis around the value of any business is its active trailing 12-month customer file. And if mm-hmm. we really sort of get away from revenue and we get more into new customers and existing customers, and then the strategies we employ to drive both. And it just all delayers into like other areas of business. So it is something that that I and we preach in everything we do, whether it's like a Shopify look at to an agency for paid media to just culture and philosophy and change management. So I'm very happy that that made it onto this, because I think it's a critical part for our audience and for us.
That's right. So. Well, Nick preaching, who has this on your bingo card for today? But here we go.
you all get right. it.
Yes. So here we,
I'm going to get spicy, and I'm just going to like really throw the gauntlet down and go culture club for 1,000.
Whoa, here we go. This Nike alum said, empathy doesn't slow performance, it scales it.
John Donahoe? Would he qualify as an alum? He got fired.
it's the new, it's his replacement, Elliot. I can't remember his name, but
Elliot Hill.
Elliot Hill. Is that the correct answer?
That's right.
I took it half credit.
All right.
I mean, I think it was crazy that the John Donahoe experiment lasted as long as it did. It's crazy he left there to go to be the head of the Pac-12, but or the head of Stanford Athletics, the 80th Stanford. But yeah, I think Nike brought back a vet who understood the culture and understood the community and what Nike was all about. And it is about, you know, trading in price or trust. We talk about that too. And he clearly understands like the content, the story, the connections, and that it wasn't just a data play. It wasn't just about math. It was about far more than that. So
yeah. And I've been corrected by the production team in the back. Donna Felix was the one that said this, not yes. So,
and Rick gets it right. And
yeah,
what's Donna Felix's role?
Vivrell. Remember that was right.
All
around the product experience.
That was a great interview because you're not just a host, you're also a client, Jess.
Like very loyal. I get very excited about my Vivrell wish list. It's pretty amazing. So and I think that, you know, Donna really showed how understanding the customer and like really creating these rich product experiences. So it all kind of speaks to her MO here. So all right, Culture Club for 1,000, I think just actually goes to me. So I'm gonna take that
one. You are gonna get those shoes.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
So should we just work our way up to 800?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what you got here. All right. Also, another Donna Felix.
I mean,
yes.
Emotional quotient.
Emotional intelligence. Yeah. EQ, IQ with EQ. Yeah, not Excel quotient.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're missing the most important Q, the AQ, the adaptability quotient.
Right.
But it is interesting that, you know, the blending of just not having a high intelligence, right? It is a blend of like your ability to understand on a couple levels. So IQ, EQ. So
I actually love that you said that, Nick, because especially in the era that we have, if you don't have this version of AI, the adaptability intelligence, you really are getting left behind. And I think so many times people really dig their heels in on either this is how it's always been, and like weren't those the was it like how many those are the numbers that are the five words, six words that ultimately kill a business. This is how it's always been. It's like one of the things you're famous for saying. I think that that's like super critical, especially as we're talking about moving company culture, but of also evolving because your customer's evolving. All right, so here we go. We'll give you that one. You can take the keep dominance of the board.
Let's go to let's really like be radical. Riddle me is that riddle me rain pain
RMN.
Yeah, like so RMN. Let's go for 600.
Okay, like middle of the ways. The word Kiri Masters swore she'd never say again after 2025.
After 2025.
After 2025.
I'm gonna just go out on a limb because it's just so incredibly overused and is agentic.
Incrementality. The one time agentic really? Probably didn't come up in that conversation because I think
she's so big on like retail media and like
she said so, it so many times. So yeah. It's when in that part of the conversation as we were talking about like ultimately, you know, agency contracts and like the safe word. But you know, that's the other if we're talking about acronym yeah. incrementality.
I feel like this word is not going to be going away, especially and this is something for listeners for you to look forward to. I just did a really great interview that we're going to see here in a couple of weeks with Trevor Testweed, the CEO of Measured, who you're very close with, Nick. And incrementality is his love language. Mm. Let's just say that. And so he's going to say it if Kiri won't.
Yeah, I think it's not about, I think what happened with incrementality, like not dissimilarly to agentic is like, you know, they were very much on the front end of measurement, right? We all kind of started with like some just very manual holdouts
yeah.
to see what true incrementality was. And then products measured being an early and a very excellent one. I've used it before. But now there's a ton of people that are using the word in their suite. And so mm-hmm. I think that she's right in the sense that it's now lessened the importance, but I do think it is super important, but really understanding what it is that you're getting. So,
well, the other thing I'll add to this is, and we've talked about this probably not as much frequently on the show, but I know we talked about a lot of this a lot last year, like the rising role of the CFO and also overseeing the strategy of an organization and margin. And so that I word really becomes critical as teams are vying for whether that's resources, marketing spend, even software investment, right? Like what is that impact, another I word, on the bottom line? So,
yeah.
All right.
ROIC, my friend.
Love it.
Let's right. go. Yeah. Let's hit the board again. Where you guys want to go?
Marketplace mayhem for 600.
Okay. Jack Freeman noted everyone's a disruptor until these show up.
The incumbent?
Ooh, the invoice.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But it's true, but it can't be true, right? And I think that that goes back to, you know, the asymmetric bet, the planful and thought through bets and innovation, because you have to always be evolving and trying and changing. Yeah. And if you get to a point where you're just worried about the money, like when it's like when you play defense, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Jack came to us from Peakspan, you know, venture capital, and he gave us a really good overview of the market. And so the fact that a VC is sort of calling things out, you know, maybe says something about the mood of what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, and we, you know, like, look, we know that the marketplace model is not going away. More and more, even if it feels like it's a older strategy, you kind of continue to see it evolve. And like these, especially, you know, whether it's now digital services marketplaces, or I'm sure there's going to be some kind of AI agentic marketplace popping up at some point if it doesn't exist already, if you count like all these apps plugging into ChatGPT. But, you know, the OG marketplace, not the eBay one, the Amazon one is like thriving in our 12 days of Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So the invoices be rolling. They're just like, they look a little small. The margins look a little bit smaller.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Okay. So here we go. Back to the board.
What do you want to choose?
Things Rick said that shouldn't be on record for 400.
Okay. He described agency attribution as this kind of performance. Do you like talking about yourself in the third person, Rick?
It's a little unsettling. It's a little unsettling. Agency attribution as this kind of performance.
Yeah. I mean, it's like right in Times Square. I'm going to give you a little hint. Starts with the T.
Times Square T.
Lots of shows.
Yeah. It's Broadway. It's like a theater.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a little kabuki theater here where they said like, oh, here's all the stuff we're doing. And then we're taking credit for it. Mm-hmm. Nothing you did had anything to do with this performance.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes back to like that incrementality, right? It's like, it's like it's not just the numbers, it's the methodology.
Look at the conversion rate on those Google paid keywords and your brand term.
Exactly. Guys, it's manufactured incrementality. It's the same thing.
Exactly. And they unfortunately they just say, can you look at our performance? And you have to ask the question, what's it coming from? And they say, oh, it's coming from paid search. And you have to ask, well, where's it coming from? And they say, it's coming from branded terms. Wait, that's the person that's gonna shop anyway.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Correct.
Guys, though, they wouldn't be there if you didn't hang up the sign that you're open. So that's what you really what your brand terms are. All right. So let's go back to the board. Watson, you get that one after many, many clues. But I will give it to you. Yes.
Yeah. Let's keep going down. Rick in the third person for 600, please.
For 600. Okay. Rick said every cult says that to which guest?
Every cult.
Oh, this is something maybe about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but remember, this is the answer I'm looking for. Again, I've got to give you clues on your own third-person situation. I'm looking for a guest.
Every cult says that.
Probably one of our more stylish guests, solid hat. There's also references to Canadian tuxedos.
Every cult says that Canadian tuxedos.
I'm lost.
I mean, yeah.
I'm lost.
We're give us this one.
All right, guys, I'm going to take it for myself. 600 coming my way, guys. Mama getting some shoes. Josh Carter. Remember, we had like a big conversation around influencers. We talked about the whole gamut on communications and strategy and team hiring. It's like we ran the gamut with Josh. It was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the board. Rick, I just need to up the ante for you here.
Right.
I guess I'm going to give you more command. One last time, things Rick said that shouldn't be on record for 1,000 to see if you can redeem yourself.
Okay.
Oh!
All right.
When Finn talked about curiosity as strategy, Rick said this.
Wow. Remembering what I said is basically impossible. I think curiosity is strategy, then it's probably something like no one has strategy because we don't seem to be very curious out there.
The way you responded, and I can take this because it's also very true, but you, it was a KPI I can respect. It's what we were looking for.
Got it.
Yeah.
Imagine being me. Remember what you said versus you remembering what you said.
I know. Clearly.
All right. So
Finnegan has a lot of interesting and really poignant views of the world. And he really does. He's like so eloquent as well. That was a great interview.
Yeah. I also love that whenever you're interviewing him, you feel like you're on like an archaeological expedition because all the things that are in his studio/house.
Right.
Yeah. I also don't feel very cool when I talk to him. Like, you're way cooler than I could ever aspire to be in so many different ways.
That's right.
Yeah. So maybe I'll get there one day when I grow up. All right. Let's hit the board. I'm going to give it to you, Nick. And you, the world is your oyster. You get to pick.
Let's go to, I don't think we hit AI Illuminati for 1,000.
The one thing AI still can't automate, according to Katz and Keshu.
Taste?
Close. Judgment.
I was good.
Well, we'll give it to you because we're feeling generous over here on the show, as we always do. Yes, you may take that one. I agree. Like, I think the judgment part is kind of interesting. David Katz is going to be at our NRF party. So we're really excited about that. Looking ahead. He's such an amazing guest, and there's going to be a lot going on. So Here we go. Let's we're going to make this one our last one. Unless, Nick, you have any other kind of final words on David Katz?
I mean, like Finnegan, he's super eloquent. I don't know. I mean, I've known David a long time. He's not maybe as cool, but certainly he is really well-versed.
He's gonna love him.
And, you know.
Great dresser.
Yeah, well, he's a fellow product of New York City. Did you know that fun fact about him? Which is one of our original conversations, but in a really interesting business that's evolved immensely to sort of go from something that was dominant to something transitional to still being dominant. And yeah, I'm excited to have the conversation with him at NRF. And
yeah,
he like Rick, writes a lot, has a lot of really amazing opinions, and I think it'll be really awesome.
Yeah, we're in the editing room. We're going to like cut the part where he said he wasn't as cool, so he still shows up to NRF. So. I mean,
no one is like that.
That's probably
not as cool
as Finnegan.
I also am not as cool as David Katz, so I will take a seating with both of them in my dream dinner table. So, okay, we're going to like make this the last one for all the glory. Final Jeff Parte. So what you got?
Which 1,000 haven't we done? I think we haven't done. Did we do Marketplace Mayhem for 1,000?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right, well, let's do it.
Yes, no, we can go there, guys. Yes. All right, marketplace operators say they empower sellers. Sellers call it what?
Sellers call it rules?
I was going to say inhibit.
You got to pay the piper, guys. Commission with extra steps.
I mean,
yeah, marketplaces aren't always the friends of sellers.
No.
But in theory, they should be helpful.
I think what people like don't think about with marketplaces is like the kind of the thesis about we're just going to build a community and bring sellers in to connect with that community. And that's how it works. And everyone's going to be happy is wonderful. And it just, and utopian, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Marketplaces' biggest challenge, if they're not eBay, Amazon, or some of the other crazy large players, is finding customers. And that's not free. And so what happens? They need money. They need money to buy those customers and improve their technology. And who pays for that? The seller.
Yes, yeah. They do. And you know, it always like goes back and forth, right? It like throttles where, you know, maybe a marketplace leans too heavy on the buyer side and then the sellers get frustrated or they stop pulling inventory or they, you know, they just feel like they don't have their back. And then you have the other side of it where if they lean too far on the seller side, like buyers aren't happy and it's not creating great experience. So it's why it's interesting to me when we start to talk about like the agentic commerce protocol all the ChatGPTs, like Claude's, Perplexity's getting in the mix of starting to actually sell products and close the loop. Like you're really forgetting the customer in that sense because somebody's got to handle logistics, somebody's got to deal with returns, who's dealing with the customer service. So, anyways, it will be a fun transition to watch, I think.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of great marketplace guests on the show this year, including Michael McCluskey from Lowe's, who's super seller focused. I was with him there at their seller summit in Charlotte. Did not visit Jess, even though it's an hour and a half away.
You did get a big old sweet tea, though.
I did get a sweet tea from Bojangles, and I am developing adult onset diabetes.
Well, the good news is the drugs are getting cheaper. So there you go.
We also have another great. We have another great show coming up with the head of the Ulta Beauty Marketplace coming up, James Lang. That will be exciting.
That's
so a lot of these big specialty marketplaces are really coming on, if you can believe it, in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, think about Ulta. They solved the problem of that customer acquisition, right, with all of the incredible stores and their brand. So it's such a logical step. Everyone's like, oh, retail media is a moneymaker. Well, guess what? You're a big brand like an Ulta. So is a marketplace.
Absolutely. One thing about all of these brands that have popped up on TikTok, right, that are beauty brands, that's been one of the big kind of star categories and breakout categories. And a lot of it is brands you don't necessarily know. And so I think that Ulta is going to allow that platform to really shine and show some of these like emerging independent beauty retailers that may not necessarily be able to get into the doors. And it's a great feeder system. It's super smart for them. They can see the demand and figure out what do they need to buy into. And it'll be a fun interview. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're excited about that one.
All right, guys. Well, that's really going to wrap it up for our 2025 retro, our jet party. I don't know if we have a final total, guys, on where we landed. I think I might have gotten more points than you, but we'll see. Yeah. So, Rick, just get ready to write the check.
Okay. They're coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here we go.
The check is in the mail.
The check is in the mail. Exactly. I take wire transfers as well.
Okay.
Or that's Venmo. Good. So again, super fun. Thank you guys. You're a great, great guest as always, and participants. And, thank you viewers for tuning in. Super excited to see you guys next week. And we're going to close this out old school style with a little dance party.
I love it.
Get ready. Yes. Get ready for the move.
So you're like Rick.
The dad from Bluey. That's going to do it for this week's Watson Weekend. If you've made it this far, you're either a retail masochist or you just love the sound of our voices.
I'm going to say it's option two. Either way, we appreciate you. If you've enjoyed today's show, give us a follow, give us a like wherever you're listening. Leave us a review, preferably with 5 stars. We'll take 4.5 if you're feeling a little bit stingy. Yeah, it's okay.
And don't just lurk on the channel. Share this with a friend, colleague.
That's right. We're kind of like your little sidekick helping you bring everybody along in your organization. You can find us on LinkedIn, your Spotify, all the places. And all the links are in the show notes too.
Big thanks to the community, our listeners, as well as the Kaplan Snacks that keep this circus running. Sponsors, you know who you are. And if you're not a sponsor yet,
I mean, what are you actually doing with your marketing budget? Give us a ring, call us, send an email. Rick loves when people slide into his DM. It's his favorite place.
Until next time, I'm Rick Watson.
And I'm Jessica Lisewski. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Now, you can feel like you can go on and do something better with your life. We'll see you next week.
Bye.